If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Volume.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down.
Oh boy, the playoffs have gotten fun. The Nuggets-Timberwolves series is crazy, and you know we are locked in to see who comes out of Mavericks Thunder as well. And if you're new to DraftKings, you got to check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Jenkins. That's code J-E-N-K-I-N-S, Jenkins, for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. Welcome to the roast of Rudy Gobert on the Jenkins and Jones podcast. We are joined tonight by a very special guest, Claire DeLune, a legitimate rock star slash basketball writer, which is like the weirdest combination of things to do ever. Claire, you can listen to Claire at Tiny Deaths on all streaming services, and she's also NBA writer for The Guardian. Claire, thank you so much for hopping on with us. We appreciate
it. Oh my
you.
God, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited, especially once I found out that this was an official Rudy Gobert roast. I was like, I'm so ready, born ready.
The stars just aligned on this one.
Yeah, they really did.
That's Dragonfly Jones. That's the Jethro Jenkins. I'm Guardy B. We're produced, as always, by Jackson. But let's just jump into it. I want to start with the game. And the game is this. Who hates Rudy Gobert the most of the four of us?
Ooh. I don't know if I necessarily hate the guy.
I know. Oh, I was going to say, I don't feel like the word
Oh,
hate.
I do.
It's okay to hate. It's okay to hate. He doesn't know us.
There are
we don't affect
I hate.
This life. We can hate him, guys.
But yeah, I'm not someone who acts like I'm above hating people. I just don't hate Rudy. I do think that the fraud allegations have some merit to them. Let's put it that way.
Here's what I would say. What we've learned in the last few weeks in the discourse is that if you're going to say you hate someone, you better be ready to fucking hate them with your whole chest. And you better be ready to release like 7 different songs over the course of 3 weeks about how much you hate them. And I'm just not ready to sit in front of the congregation today and say that I hate, capital H, hate Rudy Gobert.
Do I strongly
dislike him? Yes. Do I think that he is not deserving of all of his depoys? Also, yes.
Do you low key,
that's a bigger indictment on him than actually hating him. Like, bro, you don't strike anything in me enough to hate you. You know what I mean? You're just there and you're just kind of annoying and you know, you kind of frustrate me a bit, but you don't strike any deep emotion at me. That's how I feel about Rudy.
It's like the Don Draper meme, like I feel sorry for you, like I don't think about you at all.
Exactly that.
Rudy Gobert, 72 first place votes, defensive player of the year. Insane. Victor Wembanyama, 19 first place votes. Bam, 3. Anthony Davis, 4. Rudy Gobert, 72 first place DPOY votes. Is it me, or was Jokic clearly trying to drink his bone marrow on national TV tonight?
Trying? Yeah. Actively drinking. He had that shit in a mug, threw it in the microwave.
Meryl mustache out this motherfucker.
Rudy Gobert Meryl bone. Mustache. Rudy Gobert bone broth in this bitch. He was like, this is my lunch. Yeah, that was crazy. Wow.
But I mean, we do kind of have to
block. Go ahead.
I was gonna say we do have to kind of shoot Gobert some fail. Best player in the world,
no,
right?
No, we don't. We've seen him get cooked in playoffs before. Every playoff he gets exposed. I don't really hate him either. Like I don't. It's really hard for me to hate anybody in this world. But I don't need a person that can't play basketball who's in the NBA before because of their height to get rewarded for that.
That's a little far. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I would say he can't play basketball. Like that's a step far even for me, someone who's like an avowed Rudy Gobert.
He can on this end of the court. He can't play at all. Like we're in the group chat. Like
you're dropping.
Yeah, I think he had 11. I think he had 11.
He had 11, and he was efficient because he knows enough to know like to not run offense for him. But he has turnovers where he's got a 6'5" defender on him, and he brings the ball down below his waist where you're like, this is like first year shit. Like,
bro, he had 18 and 11
tonight. I mean, he was the second leading scorer on the Timberwolves. Yeah. I'm just like, there's two things that are true to me. One, I don't think anybody in the world can stop Nikola Jokic when he wants to win a basketball game, when he's like put all of his force and energy into winning a basketball game. I think he's literally unbeatable right now. I think they're going to repeat, spoiler alert. But I also think that Rudy Gobert would not be my choice to guard him. Like he wouldn't even be, top 5 probably choices. Yeah. So those are both.
I personally think AD is the best defender in the league, and Jokic does whatever the hell he wants against AD too. You know what I mean? The dude is inevitable. He's unstoppable. And like I said, I feel like we have to shoot Gobert a little bit of bail here because I think that you can't stop Jokic. You can only hope to slow him down. Right. And Gobert has not been slowing Jokic down this series at all. No. Like, you know, I mean, I think that's a valid criticism here.
But except we've seen him win Defensive Player of the Year and get cooked by not the MVP. Like every playoffs, it seems like he's proven to be the weak link on the defensive end. And we've seen we're talking about gets caught in, pick and rolls and he'll be on an island with a guard. And that's hard for a 7-foot guy. Right. But we're seeing him get his, get cooked at his home where he's supposed to be the most effective, get fucking smacked. You know what I mean? And I don't expect you to stop, the MVP, the best player in the world. I don't expect that, but slow down somewhat. He looked like food. They were making fun of him,
on the comment. Licking his lips.
He was like, dude, that's not a defense. And that's what I'm saying. Like, bro, like for any player to lick their lips when they see you in the paint, how are you the defensive player of the year?
Facts.
That's what I'm saying. And then, he had 18-11 tonight. But, we see him on the offensive end. The dude is, has no feel for the game. If he was not 7, he needs every fucking inch to be a basketball player. If he was fucking 6'11", he wouldn't be in the NBA. He'd be overseas.
I think the biggest indictment on Rudy is, he's consistently ranked in those player straw polls as the number one most overrated player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Year over year, it just keeps happening. And I'm like, if anybody knows basketball, it's NBA players. They know who they respect.
And they all feel that way.
Like unanimously. And it's not just, I don't think it's xenophobia. I genuinely think that these guys are you can't touch me. I don't know if anybody in the league is scared of Rudy Gobert.
No, and I think the issue with it is, you guys mentioned, we've seen him get cooked by wings where they're looking for the switch and they know he can't play out to the perimeter. But then we've also seen that, a lot of the best centers in the league play better when they play against him. So what is the specialty? Is help side blocks because of the wingspan? You know what I mean? I just don't understand And again, you talk about Wemby had like double every stat that he had. I know the Spurs suck, but like, what would they have done worse against the Nuggets tonight?
I think Rudy is an exemplary regular season player. I think that you can't really deny that in the regular season, he elevates his team's defense. He does, you know, get his numbers, get his stats, what have you, on the defensive end. I have yet to see a year where Rudy Gobert puts any kind of fear in anyone past April. Yeah. Period. And if I'm going to respect somebody on like a, you've won defensive player of the year, you know, among the highest echelon of players who have won that number of that four award, times. You have to scare me April and beyond, period. Like at a certain point, the jig is up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I think the voters have made it very clear that they are just going to consider, as in Rudy's case, for whatever reason, they are just going to consider defensive player of the year a regular season award. I mean, we saw that man get cooked by fucking Reggie Jackson and Terrence Mann, bro. And he's won like two defensive player of the year since then. You know what I'm saying? We saw the Jazz get their season ended by those two dudes playing Tekken Tag on that guy, just hunting for the switch. And he still has won defensive player of the year awards at that. So I think people are, voters are for sure just like, bro, we're just going to keep it a regular season award. Whether you think there's merit to that, you know, that's a whole other discussion. But I mean, it is a very odd thing about how he just goes into the postseason and he looks like food. And like you said, Claire, he for sure elevates defenses during the regular season, but it does not seem to translate in the postseason.
But just as for Anthony Davis, because if we're talking about the regular season, like to me, nobody has, and I've talked about this ad nauseum, so like forgive me for going off, but like nobody has a heavier defensive and offensive load on any given team every single night than Anthony Davis. And because, you know, we're judging people on like Minnesota was the number one defense. Lakers were, you know, bottom of the league in defense for the second half of the year. Like the rest of the team is kind of dragging him down in that sense. But like, if you ask like, you know, an NBA player, like who they'd rather get into the post against, Rudy Gobert or Anthony Davis, like,
come on,
I don't think it's even an argument.
That's 95%. 95% Gobert, I feel like, right? I mean, that's like, do y'all get the sense? Because it feels a little like Jokic takes something about it personally. I don't know if it's that he does not like Rudy Gobert personally. I don't know if it's because he's got the DPOY, it's just how he's psyching himself up. But it looked like he enjoys cooking Gobert more than he enjoys getting a drop step around Naz Reid. Like, do you feel that? Like, it looks me like he's really having fun picking apart Rudy Gobert on national TV.
I mean, I feel like we have it on record. There is footage of Jamal Murray telling that story. When Jokic was cooking Gobert and Gobert got a bucket and talked shit and Nikola said, "My friend, I have 47." Right? I think we talked about how we can't necessarily hate Rudy. I don't see Nikola as a dude who hates anyone, right? Like, he's a very even kill guy.
He cares enough. He's exactly.
He's a very even kill guy, but I think he for sure, you know, has a, you know, get a load of this fucking guy when he goes up against Rudy. You know,
that's
for sure.
So accurate. It's the get a load of this fucking guy. It's not, I hate you. It's like, can you believe this guy thinks he can guard me? Like, eye roll.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that he hates him or like enjoys going up against him or like has a personal vendetta as much as he's just like path of least resistance. Like, this guy can't stop me. Right. This guy can't stop me. I'm going to go at him every time.
Right.
Yeah. That being said, let's talk about Jokic. Did something tonight, 40 points. I think it was it 40 points, 10 assists, 0 turnovers. Chris Paul was the only other player to have done that in the playoffs, and he did it one time. I thought
10 for 10 at the cup tonight too. Like,
and I thought we've seen some incredible games from Jokic. I thought this was right up there as if not the best among the very best, because you just 100% felt the walk down in the third quarter, like a 400 meter race of like, nope, we're going to run it through me every possession. I'm going to score, or it's going to be a layup or dunk open for a teammate every possession. What can we say about this dude that we haven't said, Claire?
I mean, I'm looking at his box score right now, like 15 for 22, 68% from the field. I think it's the efficiency, too. It's like the ease with which he's doing it. I mean, we've seen guys get it out the mud. We've seen Anthony Edwards get it out the mud in this series. And he looked like a superhero, but he also looked like he was exerting every ounce of energy and willpower that he possibly had to do that. Like, a Nikola Jokic 40-point game looks so different than a 40-point game from really anybody else in the league. He just makes it look so easy. He makes it look so effortless. It's like another day at the office, you know. And he, you can watch. It's so fascinating. It's like really, it's like some beautiful mind shit, like watching him pick apart the game. Right. You know, he's like, it took him, you know, a game or two, you know, it took him two games, I guess, against these Timberwolves. Like, I feel like the first game, it wasn't really him like picking them apart. It was more just like they didn't really come ready. I feel like the Nuggets phoned in the first five games of their postseason, or I mean, first six games of their postseason. And then game two, I think that they got sucker punched. And then I think Jokic is smart enough to be like, okay, I know we're not going to win this one because we got punched in the face. So let me like observe, let me learn, let me like upload this to my supercomputer brain for the rest of the series. But it's been so fascinating to watch him just like figure out exactly what it is they do and just pick it apart with such precision and efficacy. And to me, I compared him, I think, in a tweet to like watching a lion in a hunt. It's like he's so calm and collected, and he's just watching his prey and like watching like how they want to move and what they want to do. And then he just pounces. Like when you think you're comfy, when you think you're up 2-0, you know, like I doubted Denver in this series, the dumbest fucking call I've ever made in my life. I thought Minnesota was going to win the series after going up 2-0. But
I mean, I think 99% of the world did. You feel me? Like,
but we
there were
some
Nuggets fans that thought the same. Yeah,
we're all dumb,
for sure.
We're all dumb. Like, why did we ever doubt this guy? This is one of the, I think he's going to go down as, you know, one of the greatest to ever play the game. And, like, it's, to me, it's the, like, the watching his mind work is so fascinating to me because he's really sort of just, like, hacked into the mainframe of basketball in a way that's really fascinating to watch.
Yeah. Incredible basketball mind. And going back to, like, what you said, like, the first seven games of this postseason for the Nuggets, it was like, hey, they look pretty vulnerable. I don't know, man. But, you know, after seeing their performance the last two games, bro, they weren't vulnerable. They were just bored. Now they're locked in. And now, you know, that back-to-back is inevitable, it looks like to me. And it's going to be so wild to me because I do think that they're going to end this in six. So Minnesota's going to start their postseason winning six straight and losing four straight to end it. That is wild, bro. But
I know Claire has roots in Minnesota, so I wanted to bring that up because we mentioned that Minnesota, the whole state, is haunted in sports on the last podcast. And my friend who's from Minnesota texted me. He put all the stats together. I didn't realize how dramatic it was. In the last 33 years, not one trip to the finals in any of the four major sports, even though they have all four major sports. Not one trip to the finals,
except for the Lynx. Put some respect on the Lynx.
Yes. But of the cursed sports, like whenever people do that, I always say women's sports aren't cursed. Yeah. Like
the men are letting down the people of Minnesota for sure.
100%. But like, and then on top of that, the whole state is crazy about hockey, and their hockey team moved to Texas and won a championship. Which would be like a Texas football team winning to Idaho and winning a championship. It's like, that's like, you're Minnesota, you're the hockey team. You know what I mean?
I mean, the Wild have definitely been, I think, the most successful of all the like men's major sports there. So they still do have like a hockey team to root for. But I mean, Lord knows the Vikings, the Twins, and the Timberwolves have historically not been, had a stellar record. I mean, like all you need, the only fact you need to know about the Timberwolves is that this is their first time getting to the second round since Kevin Garnett was there. So. Right. I mean, like, that's abysmal as far as a track record goes. My thing is, I think that Minnesota fans should be really proud of this team still. I do agree with you that I think Denver will take care of business. I think this is going to be over in six games personally. And that's coming from someone who thought Minnesota was going to win this series. But I think just seeing this version of Jokic and the fact that Jamal Murray looks like pretty much back to himself now, I think is a game changer. But they should still be really proud of like having such an incredible regular season. Like Anthony Edwards is 22. I think he's one of the best leaders in sports, like in the NBA already. Like
for sure.
He galvanizes his team unlike many other players in the league. So you have an incredible leader who like looks like the second coming of MJ on his best nights. And he's 22 years old. You have, you know, like, I think you have space to move Kat this summer if that's what you're planning to do to get some more offense. The future is bright. So I don't think they should hang their heads, but I do think like it does feel real Minnesota sportsy to go up 2-0 and then lose four games in a row.
Well, and it's time for it to win six straight and then lose four in a row. I mean, it's just, it's,
I mean,
so,
that Phoenix
so
team,
brutal.
Can we be honest? Can we be honest about Phoenix? Like, I mean, they were beating themselves a little bit. Like that was hard to watch. I thought
they were slowing down Joker. That's why we thought they could win.
Right.
Because they were giving Joker trouble at points. You know what I'm saying? We had never seen that before.
Worst playoff game of his life in game two.
They were speeding up Joker. He looked shook. He looked panicked. And I've never seen him look panicked before. Right. But that's the thing about his basketball brain is he's so even keeled. He can be like, oh, I got my ass whooped. And he's like, all right, how do I never do that again?
Right.
You know? So I think that's, to me, I was like posting about this last night. Like, I think the Denver Nuggets superpower and their Achilles heel are one in the same, which is that they do not get rattled, really. And sometimes like getting rattled is sort of what the moment calls for. Like sometimes you really need somebody, you know, on that bench being like, we're not going to fucking go out like this. Like, we are not going to let Minnesota whoop our ass. And I don't know if they really have somebody like that. However, that even keeledness and that innate calm is what enabled them to go down 0-2 in that fashion and then come back and win three straight games. They never lost right. sense of who they were. They never got fully like thrown off their axis. And that's, I think, a credit to Jokic. Like, I think that's just the kind of guy he is. Like, he's never going to get too high or too low in any circumstance.
I think Mike Malone's coaching his ass off too, man. You know, I mean, that double team has Ant frustrated. His body language today.
Yeah.
Was mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I've seen Ant have that type of body language in the playoffs. Definitely not. Yeah. You know, I mean, he was completely, you know, frustrated. That double team has him frustrated. But yeah, and then like Joker reminds me of Bron and how involved he is in everything.
Yes.
On the offense. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like everything that was good, like in during like the run they had when they like stretched it out, everything was going through Joker. The last time I've seen that was LeBron James.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Like, he's at the top of the key and gets the ball and makes reads from there. Everything goes through him, bro.
Yep. You feel me? And so, like, I haven't seen that since LeBron. So, he's just a special player, and he looked incredible tonight. But, I mean, like I said, it's just weird seeing a defensive player of the year look like, you know, like, oh, Joker, you know what I mean? Rudy's on me again. You feel me?
Yeah, like, great. Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. That's like I tweeted right before we hopped on, like, that, you know, Jokic isn't native to America, so he's not up on all our customs. He didn't know we give barbecue chicken defensive player of the year every year. Like, that's where he comes from. Defensive player of the year probably goes to a guy who plays defense and intimidates you or makes it harder.
At least uncomfortable. It would at least make you uncomfortable in some way. You feel me?
Claire mentioned that the supercomputer on Jokic, and I love that because I do feel like he's like one of the like comic book villains who like can just see you do something one time and just boop boop like straight into the brain. And there was a stretch in the third quarter, I think Reggie Miller actually called it out, where it almost felt intentional, like he was doing the dream shake and then he was doing the sky hook and then he was getting a Shaq, you know, 40-foot long drop step around the bottom of Nasri. Like, it just, he went through such a succession of moves on consecutive possessions. And he did tonight what to me is his signature offensive move, which is the get the fuck out of here three-pointer with 0.5 seconds left on the shot clock. The soccer throw in.
It's a throw. It's not even a shot.
He did that shit to Anthony Davis and literally broke my brain that year. Like, it was just like, all right, fuck this, bro.
I tweeted about this tonight, but that shot looks like when they pick someone out of the crowd at Staples Center to try and make a half-court shot for $100,000. Like, his form on that is just like Steve from section 210. But it goes in every time, and I never doubt it either. Like, the second he goes like this, I'm like, oh, that's cash. Like, it's the ugliest jump shot I've ever seen in my life. And I'm never, not even jump shot, it's the ugliest, like, just long range shot, because I don't even think he really jumps on it. But like, I never have a question about, I'm shocked when it doesn't go in. And the few times in game two when he missed a couple of those, I was like, what? I didn't even know you could miss that. That's automatic.
You can't block it because he's shooting it from behind his head. You know what I mean? It's unblockable. You know, feel me? It's crazy.
I can't wait to go down to like the park this summer and just like.
You're going to work on that one. All the trainers in Southern California, that's what they should be. Give me $1,000. I'll teach your son the, like, the bullshit like Joker shot clock.
Like Philip Seymour Hoffman and Along Came Polly. Like,
Raindrop. Raindrops, man. That shit was funny as hell.
All right.
What a special player, though. What a fucking special player.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? Like, as much as I'm rooting for the Timberwolves, you know, I just love Ant. I wanted to see them, you know, pull it off. You just get caught up in the beauty of Joker. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. You feel me? Like, I was bummed watching because I was like, damn, I didn't want him to go out like this.
You know, yeah. Going 100 miles an hour, winning 6 in a row, and then hitting a brick wall and winning, losing 4 in a row is rough. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah. Which is what we think is going to happen. But, I mean, God, what he's doing is just...
I gave up tonight rooting. I'm just rooting for the Nuggets at this point. I'm just rooting for them to embarrass the Celtics as like aggressively as possible. That's the remaining.
They definitely game. Will. Oh, they definitely will.
Yeah. They definitely will.
The thing I know is that Anthony Edwards is definitely going to win a championship at some point, and he's definitely going to win an MVP at some point. I feel so certain about that fact. I mean, even 10 years from now, he'll be 32. You know what I'm saying? So like That shit is going to happen. And I really do think it's an important part of your villain origin story to run into one of the greatest of all time at the absolute peak of his powers. I think every great player has had that happen to them. So
MJ had the Pistons. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, everyone has had that. So I think it's going to be important to his development. And I have no doubt that he's the kind of like basketball sicko that's just going to use it as motivation. He's going to get in the lab this summer and he's going to come back even better, which is a terrifying idea, like an even better Anthony Edwards. He's already so, so good.
But I think you made a great point that I wanted to touch on with him again on leadership. Kat played like a different guy this year with Anthony Edwards. And I think He's had that effect on people who are older than him. It's kind of insane that he's been able to do that at 22 years old.
I think
you're exactly right. Like this series, he sees the limitations of that. You can turn someone into the best version of themselves for X amount of time, but you're going to run into an opponent where you can't turn them into a different person. That's what it feels like happened to me in this series. You know what I mean?
No, for sure. And I think to me, I've spoken on this before, but I think the most impressive thing about Anthony Edwards is his leadership. You know, yeah. I think all of the other stuff that he's obviously a freak athlete. I think he's actually his basketball IQ. We've watched it grow even in this postseason. I've watched it grow. He's an incredible basketball player. But like you listen to him in those postgame press conferences and the way his emotional intelligence when he's like trying to bring the best out of his team and his teammates and like. It would be amazing at any age, really. And for a 22-year-old, it's like mind-boggling, honestly. So impressed with him.
He's just so authentic. He's not the lead with cliches type dude. Like you mentioned in this post game, he had Kat right beside him. He's like, Kat, what I tell your ass? Stop fouling. Ain't that what I told you? You know what I'm saying? Right. And it wasn't like he was trying to put him on a spot or throw him under the bus. You could tell that was a private conversation he had where he was coaching him up and they were having, you know, a laugh about it. So yeah, I'm very much impressed with his leadership as well because, like I said, it's so genuine and for him to be that genuine, like I said, have that emotional intelligence at such a young age, it's incredible.
He was so smart in that same press conference too because on the one hand, he made sure to call out Kat publicly about the fouling, but then he said, because it's so important for you to be on the floor because you're our best offensive player. So we need you out there and they can't stop you when you're out there. And like any of us who've worked with people, in basketball anywhere, knows like that is brilliant. To like couch that feedback with a compliment and with building him up in that way so that you make sure he doesn't lose that confidence. And to have that emotional intelligence at 22 is just like incredible.
I didn't know about the compliment sandwich when I was 22 years old. You know what I mean?
I mean, you look lovely today.
Hey, if you could do this and then, hey, because we need you to, you know, yeah, it is. No, it is really
the best offensive player. Right, like that's not even true, dude. It's not even close.
I mean, you got it's a little bit of a lie, but it sounds very believable. So even if he's not telling the truth, it sounds genuine. And there's an art to that too.
And Kat absolutely believed it when he heard it.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Absolutely believed it.
Yeah. I mean, and he knows his personnel. Like he knows who he's working with. Like, you know, he was like when Denver won game 3, you know, Ant was on the sidelines being like, it's a series, guys. It's a series. Like, we're good. We're good. I'm not worried. Like, you know, he wasn't melting down. He wasn't sitting there with his head in his hands, like shaking his head. You know, like his body language was still like super on point. And I just like to me, you know, athleticism aside, like basketball IQ aside, like the sky's the limit for a kid that age with those leadership qualities. Like, I think that the sky is the roof for sure.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process Angie makes completing home projects easy. We've used Angie at my house. We had some work done. We had some painting done. We were able to find a bunch of really qualified people with good rates through Angie and pick someone we were really happy with. It was super easy to use the app, super easy to connect with someone. We got the call right away, so we didn't have to sit around and wait.
Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installation, or cleaning. Angie has simplified finding help for home projects. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects from start to finish.
Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
The sky was not the limit for the Indiana Pacers tonight. I think we were all hoping for a much better game than what we got. The Knicks won by 30 points. It was a 2-2 game five. Team that wins that is usually winning the series. I feel like every time I looked at my group chat, it was just a bunch of people screaming, why is Tyrese Halliburton not understanding what moment this game is in his career? It took 9 shots tonight, 5 of 9 for 13 points in a must win. Game five on the road. Jalen Brunson, not his most efficient scoring night, but clearly understood the moment. Took 35 shots to score 44 points. How disappointing was this guy? I really was hoping for a lot more from the run and gun Pacers and the pace that they played with than to put up this kind of a performance.
Well, I'm personally just so in love with this Knicks team that it's really coloring my like analysis of the series, because I've just fallen like head over heels in love with this team. I don't know how you couldn't, unless you're already a Pacers fan. Like, they're everything that's good about basketball. They play so hard. They play for each other. They're like such a team. You know what I mean? Like, obviously Jalen Brunson is transcendent, but it's really not even just about his transcendence. Like, they're such a team and they play for each other. And they do all the little stuff and like the dirty work. They're diving on the ground for loose balls. Like, they're so New York too. Like, it's just, it's beautiful. Knicks fans deserve this. Like, we were talking about how tortured Timberwolves fans are. Like, Knicks fans are right there as far as like not having a whole lot to cheer for in the last couple decades. So I'm really happy for them. And I do think, part of it is the Pacers did not rise to the moment. And Tyrese Halliburton doesn't seem like he understands that like he needs to be aggressive for them to be good, period. Point blank. Like, that's the formula. But then I also think the Knicks just like, we knew they weren't going to go out like that. Like, they weren't going to get embarrassed like that and come back and not put on like an incredible performance. So that was my take home for sure.
Yeah,
they're such a tough team. Like, I feel like their obituary's been written like 3 or 4 times this postseason already, and they come back and just fight and claw and scratch the next game and get a win every freaking time. And it's just like, you know, like you said, they're just so New York. They're just so tough. They're so gritty. They're like I've seen Knicks fans saying this is their favorite Knicks team that they've seen in their lifetime. And I completely understand, because they embody so much of what Knicks basketball is. They're gritty. They're tough. They're fearless. Like, you know, Dante and you know Dante and Miles Turner were about to go at it. And Dante wasn't scared at all.
Like he about his name.
You look at Dante's face. He was confused. Like, really?
Oh my God, they're so fearless.
He called the man a bitch, and he's a foot taller than him. It was like you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. But Tyrese is
energy.
For sure. Tyrese is interesting, though, because I mean, he had taken 2 shots, like, in the middle of the, like, close to the end of the second quarter.
You sounded like you were going to throw your phone when you were like, he's taking 2 shots.
I've been talking about this all series. Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, When Tyrese is, they're at their best when Tyrese is aggressive, period. You know, I mean, they got outworked tonight, period. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think, like,
Hartenstein had more offensive rebounds than they had rebounds in one point in the game. You feel what I'm saying? Like yeah. they got outworked tonight. You feel what I'm saying? But like Tyrese, at minimum, you have to be aggressive for them to win. They have no chance if he's not aggressive. And so it's just odd to see a player have like as good as he is to be so passive in a moment like this.
You mentioned the rebounding stat. We've talked a lot about how demoralizing it is to have that offensive rebound margin. The Knicks had.
Did he have 11 offensive rebounds?
The Knicks tonight had 20. Hartenstein had 12. They had 20 offensive rebounds to 29 total rebounds by the Pacers. That's fucking
crazy. You're not going to win a game that way, especially not in Madison Square Garden. I thought it was similar, actually. It was like a similar sort of young person learning curve moment, the way the Pacers responded to that blowout game and how they came out in the next game. And the Timberwolves, same thing after game two, how they came out in game three. Like, I think that there is something to, like, not having been there before, like that youth and inexperience to thinking like shit's sweet after you blow a team out and embarrass them. Yeah. And then you come back the next game and like you forget that these are not only NBA players, but NBA players in the second round of the playoffs. Like you're not going to cakewalk anywhere in the playoffs. Like you have to, it's 0-0 every single game. That's the only way you can approach it.
Jackson just texted me. There's the quote from Dante DiVincenzo after the game. They're trying to be tough guys. That's not their identity.
Damn. Bro, I'm going to be honest.
Not that guy, pal.
I believe, bro, I know Dante is a foot shorter than Turner, but Dante seemed more believable in that situation. You know what I mean? I was looking at Turner like, you really ain't. You know, like, it seemed like a hold me back shit. And I'm not saying any, I don't know this man. You know, he might be like that. You feel me? But the energy I was getting, It made sense for him to say that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In that altercation, you feel me?
For sure.
But if you were talking about them like feeling like shit sweet, I kind of feel like the Timberwolves did the same thing.
Right,
the Timberwolves,
that's what I'm saying.
The first two games outworked, you know what I'm saying, the Nuggets. Point blank. You feel me? They were tenacious on defense. They put so much pressure, you know what I'm saying, on offense, and then they got comfortable.
Right.
And
that's exactly the same. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So that's interesting. Yeah.
Well, versus
I think that's that youth.
You listen to what Jokic said after the game tonight. And one of the unfortunate things about sports is that like coach speak is true, right? Like, and Jokic after the game, they're like, oh, you know, you guys played with desperation. And he cut the interview right. He's like, we're still desperate. Our back is still against the wall. And it's not
that's Mike Malone.
Michael. He's not bullshitting, Michael. You know.
I like calling him Mike.
But I think he doesn't like people calling him Mike, right?
I know, that's why I like it, because he embarrassed Cassidy Hubbard on TV. I think it was in the bubble. She was like, like Coach Mike Malone. He's like, it's Michael. And I'm like, you could have done that off TV. You didn't need to do that.
You could have done it off TV. And also, we had a lot of fun with him at that point, Claire, because it's like, who wants to be a Michael? Like, say that
Mike
as
is
a
so
proud
much more fun.
Mike. It's like, I've never known, and I actually, he seems like obviously a great coach. He seems like a good dude. But like, I've never known a person in real life who wanted to be called by Michael who is not an enormous asshole.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's like, you can see Jokic really believes that. He's not just saying it because he heard his coach say it, he knows it. He's really saying, no. They woke us up. We were down 0-2, and we're not going to feel like we're not desperate until halfway through the parade. Like, that's just where they're going to be coming from. And, there's a genuine power to that. And I agree with you. It feels like the Knicks are very tapped into that right now. And I hope they get it done. I hope they can give the Celtics a series. The Celtics limp right into the fucking thresher that is the Nuggets. That's fine with me, too.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think the Knicks would have. I think the Knicks would be in the finals this year if they had OG Anunoby and Mitchell Robinson. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have any faith in this Celtics team. I've been banging that, like, saying that from the rooftops all year long. I think that they, you know, when things are going well, when they're front running, when they get out to a lead, they play incredible and they look unstoppable. At the first sign of adversity, they completely abandon everything that makes them good. They play dumb ISO ball. I was telling some friends tonight, like, to me, the Celtics look like the absolute best guys at the Y playing pickup. Like, they're all really good. Really good. Sorry. I'm so disgusted by them that I like.
you threw up in your mouth a little talking about the Boston Celtics.
It did. It made me nauseous.
The offense had you. Offense made you gag.
Truly.
No, I'm going to just start doing that when we're talking about the Celtics. I love that. That was awesome.
But they really do just look like a bunch of very talented guys playing together versus like the Knicks, like I said, are like a capital T team. Yeah. And I really think the Knicks could have taken them at full strength, even with Kristaps. If Kristaps was there, I would take the Knicks fully healthy in a 7-game series against the Celtics fully healthy, not because of talent, because obviously the Celtics are the more talented team in that case, but just because like when the going gets tough, when the other team is like the grittier, tougher team, the Celtics have shown time and time again that they will abandon what works. So I don't trust them.
I think Ime had him like, I think when Ime was coaching, he gave him that grittiness. You know what I mean? Like, I think he like Jason Tatum, you know, he's like, yo, bro, like fuck all that cute shit.
Jason Tatum needed Ime Udoka.
Jason Tatum was the biggest loser of Ime being a freaky frog. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jason Tatum was the biggest loser for sure.
Not a freaky frog.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, dog. I'm just saying, bro. Like, I mean, the man was moving real nasty. You know what I mean? Real nasty. But anyway, yeah, I think Jason Tatum was the biggest loser.
He might have fucked up Jason Tatum's whole legacy,
bro. I mean, they might have had a dynasty at this point. You know what I mean? Like, if Jason Tatum like was playing tough, like. Yeah. In big moments, you know, that'd be crazy. So, but yeah, man. Yeah, right. But yeah, I agree with. They're just when the shit gets hot, bro, they just crumble.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. We've used Angie at my house. We had some work done. We had some painting done. We're able to find a bunch of really qualified people with good rates through Angie and pick someone we were really happy with. It was super easy to use the app, super easy to connect with someone. We got the call right away, so we didn't have to sit around and wait.
Your one-stop shop, Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie gets the difficulties that come with home projects. Why not make it as simple as possible to tackle that project? Turn to Angie with confidence, even for major renovations or emergency repairs.
Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
We have got to talk about, because I know all four of us are painfully invested in, the Lakers coaching search.
Yes.
Which officially hit, God,
it's over with now, bro.
Today.
It's over with now.
Coaching search.
Coach K. Yeah,
so Coach K is on as a consultant. Right.
Did he coach again? Sorry, I can't remember. Anyone want to refresh my memory there?
He coached Sam Cassell, I think. Didn't he coach Sam Cassell?
Oh, right.
Claire, I think, was it you who tweeted out the video of Bron's hypothetical? This is so funny. Claire tweeted out on their podcast, Bron asking JJ Redick hypothetically, like, when you're coaching your kids, do you like more threes or do you like, I mean, but he even was doing his fucking Bron face of like,
yeah,
I'm so cute. Like, this is going to be so funny when you end up being the head coach of the Lakers in 2 months.
Like, and there was a pause so too between coaching your kids. It's like, hypothetically, when you're coaching your kids' team, and then JJ just started like hysterically laughing because it was the most unsubtle. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. I love their podcast, for the record. But
it's really good.
Are you excited to watch 82 games of it next year?
Well, I mean, I end up covering, like, so I'm technically a national writer, but I end up covering, like, a lot of Lakers just because, like, I live in L.A.
Right.
And so I will be, I'm sure, attending, you know, 40-something J.J. Redick post-game press conferences next year. I think I'm... Of the available coaches, honestly, I think it's the best choice. I really do. Like, without a shred of irony, I don't think you need like a super experienced coach in this role. I think you need a guy that these guys respect and that they're going to listen to and that has a good basketball mind. And also the most important thing, which I do think he's smart enough and self-aware enough to know, is like when to reverse course, when to humble yourself and, you know, take advice. And if he has a great supporting coaching staff around him and he's willing to listen to like what the players think, like, I do think that's, you have one of the greatest basketball minds in all time in LeBron James, like, on your team. I don't think you need to be like Spo to be a competent coach for this team. I think you need to be able to make in-game adjustments. I think you need to be able to detect who your best five players are.
Put the best lineup out.
Pay them, play them more than the other players who aren't as good and aren't making as much money. And I think you need to understand your personnel and understand, like, you know, I think Darvin had a coaching philosophy that was, he was very, you know, it was very committed to, and I don't think he had the personnel that matched that philosophy. And instead of adjusting to his personnel, he tried to adjust the personnel to the philosophy. Like, I think he's just about guards who can run fast. I think that's what he wants to see on the court, and that's what he believes in. And the Lakers' strength was always the bigger that those lineups were, the better they were. Yeah. So
I think with Bron, he wants a coach who is on the same page with him. He doesn't want a coach to lead him or to teach him. He wants a coach who sees the game the same way he does.
Right.
And I think him and JJ see the game the same way, and he knows that.
Yes.
You know, because we remember that moment where it was after a Lakers lost this season, and Bron, you know, was about to answer a question, but he said, no, I'm gonna stop myself right there, because he knew the answer. He knew what should have been done in that game, right? But Darvin Ham, for whatever reason, was not on the same page with him. So Bron isn't looking for someone out there to give him guidance or to be a teacher. He's looking for someone to be on the same page with him. And I think him and JJ are for sure on the same page. And I think JJ's his guy. And I've said that ever since the dots started connecting on why he started that podcast with him.
Yeah.
That whole podcast has just been one big piece of campaign material, bro.
Yes. Brilliant. Yeah. Really good.
Jason Gallagher, manager. The best campaign manager out there.
That's my boy.
Salute to Jason Gallagher for the successful campaign managing of the JJ Redick 2024 campaign.
I'm the president of the Jason Gallagher fan club. I love that guy.
I think Jackson's the vice president. We all love Jason for sure. It's just funny. It's like, it's genuinely such a great podcast, but it does increasingly feel like
it was just interview.
A QVC. Yeah, like the QVC. Like, did you like this podcast? Call 1-800-JJ-REDICK to order him as your coach tonight. Like,
oh my God. The other thing I think is an important, I just want to say real quick while we're still on the Lakers coaching topic, like, the other thing I think is really important for a coach of specifically the Lakers and also just a LeBron James team in general to be, that Darvin Ham was not, is like willing to fall on the sword, even if it's not, even if you don't actually believe it's your fault. Like, you have to be willing to take some accountability. It's just the nature of the job, especially the Lakers, honestly, with anyone on it, without LeBron. It's such a high profile franchise. And Darvin was always so reticent to accept any responsibility. And it was always like deflecting blame and like, oh, we just, when we get whole, or like, oh, we need to play with more energy, or, oh, just tip your cap to the other team. They're just better tonight, you know? And so I think JJ's media savvy. He's smart. He knows how to work a press conference. And I think that's a really important, like, understated quality of a Lakers head coach.
I think Darvin always knew his head was on the chopping block, though. You know what I mean?
Well, he was like, in over, I think he was in over his head, and I think he knew he was in over his head.
He was always was trying to project.
Really good dude, though, by the way. I just feel like I should say that as I'm like shitting on him left and right. Really
huge
nice
fan of him as a friend. We said that when we did our celebration balloons dropping podcast that he got fired. It was like, I think he's a great guy. His life story is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of him as a person. It just has nothing to do with being the head coach of the Lakers, with all due respect.
Right. 100%.
So
how do you feel about JJ? Mike, how do you feel? I know we've been talking about we wanted Frank.
Yeah. Well, so I wanted J.J. Redick, as we all discussed, would not have been that experiment would not be how I would want the next couple of years to go. I don't. Right. I would be very happy if they hired Sam Cassell. Mm-hmm. J.J. Redick, I think to Claire's point, I don't disagree that he would not necessarily be the best option. Number one, first of all, if he keeps LeBron and he keeps LeBron happy, they're all in on that at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no version of this team that I'm excited to watch next year
without Brian. Yeah.
It's just not the way things currently look. That being said, this is the story of the Lakers in the last couple of decades is they get up to the plate. They do not watch strikes. They swing as hard as they can and they are going to hit a home run or they're going to strike out and miss the ball by 2 feet in one direction or another.
Yeah.
Steve Nash and Dwight Howard, obviously bringing in Bron, AD was great. The baby Westbrook. Lakers with the baby, but then you bring in Russell Westbrook, big strikeout. Mm-hmm. You know, you go, okay, we're going to give this guy. I mean, think about really how crazy it is to give Darvin Ham his first shot at being an NBA head coach.
Two years after winning a chip, right?
The end of LeBron James's career. Like, you know what I mean? Like that really, that's a big swing and it didn't work out. He was not necessarily like in the position or ready for that job. So JJ Redick, he could be Pat Riley. I mean, like, that's the best case scenario. Or he could be another guy where it's the second time in a row you try to give someone their first head coaching job with the tail end of LeBron James's career. I'm at this point, I'm sort of resigned to that until the Lakers become owned by the Guggenheim, you know, group that owns the Dodgers and everything else in LA that runs everything off of an AI model that's correct about everything. Yeah. This is what the Lakers are. It's going to be big swings and fuck it. Like, it'll be interesting. It's never boring.
What I've heard that is heartening is that they're willing to, when they entered this coaching search, they were willing to pay whatever for like the best candidate possible. And that was really heartening to me because obviously I think the Russ move was the worst mistake they've made. And I mean, it was one of the worst NBA like front office mistakes ever, honestly, like historically. But I think the second worst mistake they made in LeBron's tenure was giving Ty Lue an offensively low offer, like lowballing Ty Lue.
Yes.
And making him.
And then gave him 3 years, right?
Forcing like, him to
only
walk.
Offered him 3 years. Yeah.
And because honestly, like, I really believe in my heart of hearts that if Ty Lue had been the Lakers coach this whole time, they would have multiple championships. Like, I think that's kind of just objective fact, honestly. And
he wouldn't have let them get rid of KCP. He would have he would have grabbed himself around KCP's leg and been like, no,
so many things wouldn't have happened. I mean, and also he wouldn't have lost the locker room. That was because that was Frank Vogel's biggest like downfall is that he lost the locker room. Same thing obviously happened in Phoenix. It's not that Frank Vogel's not an excellent NBA head coach, but the problem is like managing egos and managing superstars is a huge part of coaching besides like X's and O's aside, and he lost that locker room. And I like just knowing Ty Lue, he would not like that's not Ty Lue's bag. Like, if he's gonna do anything, he's gonna have these guys' respect. Yeah. So, that to me is like shaking fist at Sky at the Lakers for not paying that man because I don't think that they're gonna lure him away from the Clippers. I think Steve Ballmer is gonna throw whatever bag he needs to at him to keep him.
We made him an extra couple million dollars with the Clippers. I feel like that's what we did, basically.
Absolutely. Like, and he deserves every penny. He's an incredible coach.
You're tapping into a lot of well-worn storylines on this podcast for sure. 100%.
Sorry.
Okay, a couple of non-basketball things to talk about. Did you guys see this portal that they opened from New York to Dublin?
Why did they do that?
What are we talking about here?
You didn't see this, John?
That, please, immediately.
They opened this. It's like a big circular screen with a live camera in, I don't know if it was Times Square or somewhere else, like, you know, dense in a densely populated part of New York. And it was just on a live camera to Dublin. So people in Ireland and people in New York could go and, like, someone in Dublin put up a picture on their phone and held it up to the camera of 9/11. Someone in New York flashed a woman flashed her chest at the people in Dublin. I think it made it like 16 hours before they shut it down. And we're like,
what was
human
the purpose
beings
of this?
The woman who in New York who flashed her chest asked them, how do you like these potatoes? I am not making that up. That is exactly what she said. There's footage. You can check for yourself. Worst idea ever, dog.
I respect people who trust human beings enough to put something up like this. I just don't understand them.
How are you a New Yorker who trusts human beings that much? That's what I don't understand. How have you lived in New York City? Like, you have to keep your head on a swivel at all times in New York. Like, nobody trusts anybody there.
I don't know. Yeah. I really
have they revealed the purpose? Have they revealed the purpose of this?
It was just like a fun,
little experiment. Let's just see what happens type shit.
That's what they said when they made Jurassic Park. So
it kind of was a Jurassic Park. It kind of was a Jurassic Park situation. Okay. The last thing was, did y'all see the graduation speech that Harrison Butker gave the Chiefs punter?
Yeah.
John
Unfortunately,
Tyler,
I saw
that?
Some of it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I saw like a little snippet. Did y'all drop that in the group chat? Was y'all? Or that might have been another one.
I think so.
It's really bad. Yeah.
Harrison really bad. Butker went into his barber, first of all, and said, give me the most obnoxious shit on the fucking chart.
Yeah. Fuck me. Probably the least of his problems at the moment, but yeah, not a great one.
100%. But it's like you could see what he was seeing in his head of like, this is the day I launch my eventual presidential candidacy by going on stage and talking about how women should not have careers and how men have been lied to about masculinity being toxic.
What school was this at? So what school was this at?
Benedictine College, I do believe.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Tyler, what was your reaction to Harrison Butker's graduation speech?
First thing I saw, I thought when I saw this, buddy, we are about to do some kicker shaming. Like that was my very first thought. And that has been the direct point of attack that everyone is coming with. Like, I saw someone say, we're having a kicker preach to us about what the peak of masculinity is. And, like, I mean, I think that's all that needs to be said here, dog.
Yeah, man.
Like, you're a kicker. That's it.
You're like the pansiest, like, football player that there are. Like, that's
your coworkers don't even respect you, bro.
No, NFL players feel about kickers the way NBA players feel about Rudy Gobert. That's a fact.
That's facts. Even the good ones.
Bro, Urban Meyer, old ass, was abusing a kicker. Like, they said he would just run up to the kicker and just kick him in his shins. Like, 60-year-old Urban Meyer thought you was somebody to just steal off on, bro. Like,
you're literally you're playing like the most violent high contact sport on earth, and you're the only player who is guaranteed that no one can lay a finger on you. Like, that's right. Soft as shit. I mean,
you and the long snapper. Not allowed to touch him. Can't do it. Anyway, had to make fun of Harrison Butker. Also, a bad name. It looks like a typo of Butler. Every time I see it, I think someone mistyped Butler.
Yeah.
Fuck Harrison.
That's less of
I hope he gets waived for saying that stuff. He probably won't because, you know, football, but he shouldn't be allowed to, because he said so many incredibly out of pocket things that I won't repeat, but in any like respectable job in America, forget like sports, just anywhere, like publicly saying on the record all the stuff he said today should get you fired. So,
with this face.
God.
Yes, you've been lied to.
He took like 3 Yag bombs and then got on stage and just said the dumbest stuff that anyone's ever said.
He wrote it out too. That was the
You're
other
gonna
thing
make me have to watch this motherfucker now, bro. I'm about to tap in, dog.
You're gonna be disgusted.
That face, I'm gonna be disgusted for sure. Yeah. I gotta see that face he made, though, that Mike just imitated.
It's every time these guys do this fucking like alpha male shit, it's they just have this face like you can see that they're picturing what they look like on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's like I said, like whether it's he wants to be president or he wants to be Joe Rogan or whatever, it's just like you can see him like, this is my moment. Yeah. I'm going to tell a truth that's so true, it cracks the world in half. And it's like, and you're saying the same stupid shit.
What were people in the crowd saying? What were they like?
Stunned silence, I think, mostly.
Oh, really? It was awkward?
Like? Yeah, for sure.
Was he a kicker there at the school or something? Like, why did they invite this man? He seems like an idiot.
I'm doing some Benedictine college Googling.
Also, this is a side note, but why, you know how you're saying those guys always look like so proud of themselves and like he got the dumbest haircut and like you could tell he felt really good about it. Am I tripping or are they always sunburnt too? I feel like those guys just always are like, just like a little red and like, they're just like, they look flushed, but in a way that's like, they decided not to wear SPF the day before.
Yeah.
That's really that deer antler in their veins. You know what I'm saying? Joe Rogan told them to buy. You feel me?
Like the 16-year-old golden retriever face. You know, when they get old, like they get a little pale around the eyes and shit. That's what they be looking like, dog.
Yeah.
Jackson just told us what it's a small Christian school in Kansas.
Yeah.
So it's possible to some people.
I don't think it was poorly received by Benedictine College. And I'm looking at their logo. They put a cross in the letter B. God bless.
Branding.
I kind of feel like they might have loved it. You know what I mean?
We could get real froggy on Kansas right now. This is in a city called Atkinson, Kansas, population 10,885. So here's what they felt. They felt does not register as a statistically significant emotion. That's what they felt.
Yeah. What was that thing from Succession? Like no real person involved or whatever.
Yep. Okay. All right. That's a student's tooth. That hold on. There's 2,000 students and they're calling this a college, bro. That's half as many people as went to my high school, dog. Vinny is going to a middle school with 1,800 kids next year. There's 2,000 people at this college. God damn it. I feel like we got caught by the engagement farming. You know what I mean? We are talking right now to more people. Like more people are listening to us say this than go to that college.
Crazy.
That's give us a $37 million endowment, goddammit. All right. Okay. That's all the time we got. Claire, thank you so much to Claire DeLune for hopping on with us again. Tiny Desk, Le Petit de Mort. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. On all streaming, I don't know how to do French, but on all streaming services, you can also find her at Claire MPLS on Twitter, where she is trapped with the rest of the lunatics, including the three hosts of this show. But Claire, thank you so much for hopping on with us. That was awesome.
Thanks so much for having me. That was so much fun.
All right, y'all. We will be back at a date that we are going to discuss right after we get off. And we will see y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
The Volume.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.